Welcome to Keeping Up with the Kick-Ass Canadians. Today's guest is actor, writer, and director Matthew Edison. Matt, thanks for joining me.
Good to chat with you again.
I know, it's been too long. Well, as always, you have a lot going on, including a recurring role on CTV's upcoming show, The Detail. What's the scoop on the show, and who do you play?
The show is about three female lead detectives, or rather two homicide detectives and one police chief or head of that division of the homicide division. Wendy Crewson plays the head of the homicide division, and then we have Sinead Grimes and Angela Griffith playing the two homicide detectives. I play Angela Griffith's husband, Jono. So I'm basically just sort of in tops and tails of the show, but it's an interesting part for me. It's sort of a different side of, like, these are working women who are very committed and very passionate about their jobs, and they work just as hard as anybody. And then, you know, they also have to come home and in Angela's case, she's got to come home and be a wife and a mom to our two kids, one of them who is on the autism spectrum. So it's sort of about a bit of the wear and tear that goes on there. And it's a show produced by the same folks who did Saving Hope and Rookie Blue. And it's got that kind of sort of style and sheen to those shows, sort of a Grey's Anatomy type, you know, part soap opera, part drama. But they try to really, I think, go at some of the, like, darker aspects of, like, episodic cop procedurals, while at the same time, you know, getting in kind of to the nitty gritty of, like, these women in a man's world that has generally been on television, you know.
Yeah.
You don't normally see that same, you know, I think a lot of times with these kinds of shows, we're used to seeing kind of men doing their job and their families and stuff are just sort of an adjunct part of it. And with these women, it's not the case. Their relationships are important to them, and it is a really difficult thing to juggle. And although we've seen aspects of that in the past, you know, just family life, you know, how hard it is for police to, you know, leave their job at home and see all these awful things and do all these really difficult things and then come home and pretend like nothing happened. It's the same is true for these women. And in fact, outside of that, there's not a lot of difference. I mean, I think that's kind of one of the oddly, not rebellious, but it's an aspect of the show that, you know, sometimes we get interviewed and they'll say, like, what's it like working with women, you know? And you're like, it's the same. It's the same.
They're people, too.
I don't know how to really answer those questions sometimes. But I think what's really cool is that we're seeing how, for ourselves, we're watching a typical cop show. It's very typical in a lot of ways. Like, you know, there's a bad dude they're chasing after. There's someone who's really dangerous on the street. And it's how women approach that job and balance their life. It is inherently a little different from the way we see men do it and what's expected of them. And these are, you know, they're surrounded by men all the time, and they have to, the women have to say jump and the men have to say how high. And you can see how kind of uncomfortable it is for some of them. You know, they're not used to that reversal.
Yeah.
And the reality is like, that is the reality a lot now. We have a lot of people in the force and in these kinds of jobs that don't, it's not just the 1950s, you know, men in blue anymore. It's a much more, the spectrum is changing.
Well, does the fact that it's sort of the field's opening up a bit in film and television to emphasize women or put them in lead roles more, does that impact you as a writer and as an actor as far as the characters you want to depict, the stories you want to tell, or have you always felt that you could explore those dynamics?
Well, I think that there's two sides of that. Yes, the landscape of television is changing in terms of roles and diversity and so on. Does that affect me personally, like the roles I get or whatever? Probably, but I'm not bitter about it. I'm excited about it. I think it's time. I mean, maybe if I weren't working, I would, that could be my excuse or something, but there's always, you know, I'm not worried. There's always going to be roles for, you know, dudes and white people, but we've had so much of that, you know, and I'm very happy to share the playing field if it makes for better and a more like better work, but also a more realistic view of what our stories have to offer. Our stories should reflect the world we're in, and the world is changing. I think sometimes we can highlight it too much and pat ourselves on the back for that, when really we're just really late. Society is often ahead of television now. So, like, I look around at society and we're much more integrated than I've been seeing on television for a while now. Women are running the office. Black people are running the office. People of queer people are running the office. There's just no excuse anymore for the television not to reflect that in a more realistic and honest way. Does it affect me when it comes down to like getting cast and things? Sometimes, yeah, because the diversity of these roles need to be changing, so the network will look for that. They'll want to, you for, maybe. But like, let's say if I lose out on a job or something because they want to cast someone who's ethnic or female in that role or whatever, the opposite of that has been going on for so long, that they have not been inclusive. They have not been hiring ethnic people. Everyone's just been, it's just been white people hiring white people and men hiring men and so on for so long that it's a good change. It's a bigger thing than me in a way, is I guess what I'm saying. So it's as long as I'm still able to work, and I'm lucky, and then I get to do, I've sort of diversified my portfolio over the years. I act in a lot of different kinds of things, and I write as well, and now I'm directing and things. So that's one of the ways I kind of keep myself busy and hope to kind of promote my own work, and things like that. So, yeah.
Well, speaking of some of the other projects you do, as well as female-centric narratives, you're currently starring in Bunny at Tarragon Theatre. It's on until April 1st. So the play was written, obviously, as you know, by your fellow kick-ass Canadian, Hannah Moscovich. I know we're both big
Yes.
fans of hers, and you've collaborated with her as writers, and you've acted in her plays before. As an actor and a writer, what do you most admire about Hannah's work?
She's just a ferocious intelligence. She's just one of the smartest people I know. She first of all, she's very prolific. She works very, very hard. She is a new mother like yourself, and she, splitting your time just, she has four, five, six commissions a year. She's now getting commissions in New York, and she writes for film, for television, and yet she still finds time to produce or to write like two plays a year, and then she has five more on the thing that are due, that are owed to other people who've paid, and she does it. And I'm always just amazed at that productivity. And they're not just lightweight comedies. She writes very deep, very insightful, but never pandering plays. If there's every when I'm working on a play of hers, she's very involved, and she'll often make all kinds of cuts and edits and changes throughout the process, right up until opening night. And sometimes she cuts things and then she puts them back. She really needs to. If there's any sense in her mind that what she is saying is overt in any way, she removes it. So she won't let, she really, really doesn't like, just personally, she really doesn't like anything on the nose or characters actually saying the thing that they're talking about, which makes very sometimes choppy or difficult language to even learn as an actor. It's very challenging. I love that challenge. I find it very difficult, but I really like it. It stretches me. But her language is true to that metaphor of the iceberg. It really, what's going on is underneath the surface, and what we're getting language-wise, dialogue-wise, are just these little pieces, just these little tips. And it's up to us to really look below the surface and really do that work, so that when the audience hears just the little bits on top, put all together and in contextualizing the scene, we know what's going on. In life, we don't often talk about what we're talking about. We're trying to get something. And dialogue is one of the tools we use to try and get what we want, or to smokescreen, or to hide what we want. So she really does that so well. And watching her grow over since we both came up when we were younger, writing plays and then playwrights at Tarragon and stuff, I've always been a huge fan of her, but watching her mature and develop as a into the really the international talent that she is, it's just been like amazing. She
Yeah.
just really. So yeah, it's always an honor to get a chance to work on one of her pieces.
I'm just curious, do you know when she makes those changes on the fly, do they get
Yeah.
incorporated into the next version, like the next production, or is it just each time?
She, I mean, if it were up to her, I think she would work on each production. She would be involved in every production of her play because she's very fastidious, and I think it is very hard for writers to essentially abandon their work at a certain point. Like, you know, Judith Thompson was similar. She would, you know, her plays would be published, and she'd
Yeah.
go back and rewrite them. You know,
Wow.
I think at a certain point. Now, personally, I think at a certain point. They're like children in a way, right? But you can't, at a certain point, your kid is your kid, and there's not a lot you can do. You have to kind of just go, that's the kid I made. And, you know, if you get people say, I saw your kid in, you know, in Tucson, and they're really great, you know, they're really cool. Like, I really enjoy them. And you're like, fantastic, you know, or I saw your kid and they were like, wasn't such a great evening in the theater. Then you're like, you know, oh, dang, what did they do? You know? But really, you're not responsible anymore for it. You made that thing. It's out there. You can't control every production. But I think there is a willingness to want to make it better always. And with art, it's a fine line because the pursuit of perfection it's sometimes can be an often in creatively an unhealthy thing because it's a myth. You're never going to achieve perfection. So the pursuit of it can be noble up to a point, and then you have to come to terms with the fact that it will never be perfect. So I can actually ruin it by pursuing that. I can trying to remove every flaw or everything that I don't think is right or like, especially in a collective medium like theater, where you have so many tangibles and intangibles that are a part of the creative process, be the actors, the design, and so on, that you can't control. You know, so but Hannah's also very respectful. Like, she works with directors, she works with actors, she loves actors, she loves directors and good design and things, and obviously when it's not up to par in those areas, it's upsetting to her, but she has a lot of respect and admiration, I think, for those roles and those jobs as well. So it's not like she's trying to get everyone just to do her play. She's open to people's interpretation. She wants people to bring themselves to her work. But she will be very hard with herself, for sure, about her own work.
Well, I think it helps because, I mean, she has a background in acting as well, and with you acting, writing, directing. And I wanted to ask you recently had your debut as a film director at the Toronto Shorts International Film Festival, so congratulations on
Yeah,
that for your
thank
short
you.
Synthesize. Do you plan to direct again with film?
Yes, I'm planning to do. I have a plan to try and do a short film every year. If my schedule allows it, and I think it does, not just in terms of doing it, but like, you know, writing it and pre-producing it and then producing it and then editing and all those things that go into it. I really love it. You know, it's something I've been wanting to do for a long time. I've had a lot of encouragement from people, colleagues and things to do this for a while. And I think just I had been, have I been, I've been writing on commission for other people for a long time. And I just got to a point where I was like, you know, I have my own stories I want to tell. And I'm not really making room in my life to do that. And I actually also want to, I really wanted to try directing. I directed years ago when I was sort of starting out. I directed a play I wrote and I really loved it. And it did very well. And so for some reason, I got busy with acting and studying and training and then starting off on that career. I just never got back to it. So actually, when I was directing this film, it's I don't want to say it's easy because there's a lot of work, but it to me it just feels very natural. I'm a sociable person. I love working collaboratively with people. I like writing and I like acting, and there's two aspects of directing that require you to focus on storytelling and the story that is being written, whether it's someone else. And I am very, you know, I'm just like when I put the director hat on, I'm just as ruthless with my script as I think any director should be. And if something is working better in the fly, if an actor is bringing something to that that's honest and better than something I wrote, we're going to do that. You know, I'm not just there to parent my script. I'm there to make a film. So I really loved it. It sort of embraces all aspects of my personality. So it's an exciting kind of new, I think, a bit of chapter in my life where I hope to be doing more of it.
It's exciting. I can't wait to see what you make next, Matt. Thank you so much for taking the time to catch us up. And for anyone looking forward to the detail, it premieres on Sunday, March 25th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on CTV. Matt, thank you so much and good luck with everything.
Thank you, Amanda. That was fun.